Welcome to the School of the Word. This is lesson 155 in our teaching series, Unlocking the Prophetic, titled The Book of Jeremiah, Lesson 12. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
As we continue on in the Book of Jeremiah this morning, please consider that God had the Book of Jeremiah being taught today in His heart, in His revelation. He has led us in this book of understanding for the day in which we're living in, which is today, and for the times that are around us. It's amazing how God's Word, I don't care how you back up to it and hook up, it'll fit and it'll work anytime. The days that we're in are changing, but God's Word, you might think that it is, that it needs to, but it doesn't. And let me tell you why God's Word never changes. When things change, they're trying to move into a place of perfection. That's the idea. It's the reason you change it. Let's do a better way. Let's do something better. The reason God's Word never has to change is because it's already perfect. Can somebody hear what I'm trying to say? It doesn't have to change. It's already there. It doesn't need a modified version. It doesn't need an improved version. Even though people try to improve it and do better, and you want to reevaluate it differently, always consider the reason it never changes is because of its perfection. It's already arrived, so to speak. And so God tells us, He gives us His Word. I believe we could just preach right there if we needed to. I mean, I felt the Holy Ghost. I think the Holy Ghost hit something there. I had never run into that till right then. The reason God's Word never changes is because it's already perfect. Amen. Okay. Boy, I feel His presence already. This feels good. I don't know about you. You kind of get cold and hot all at the same time, and it's not the flu and it's not the virus. It's something from a holy land. Lesson 12 of Jeremiah, it applies to us today. And the reason you've heard me state this before, the reason God chose Israel and gave us a nation was God said, okay, He gave us a prototype of the world. He said, okay, I'm going to do a nation. You can see this nation down through the ages. And God had us in mind in 2020 when He wrote this book. There again, it's perfect. It doesn't need to be changed, but it's very reflective. And it's very reflective in that we can see ourselves in this book. So God picked on the nation Israel, if you will, to be His prototype to show us the nature of man. So now we look back on it and we look into the book of Jeremiah as God used them as a prototype to teach us of our nature. Now, if you think you're different than Israel and the nation of Israel, you're wrong. It's us. As Grandpa used to say, us, and that's who it is. So in the book of Jeremiah, we see that Jeremiah was a priest turned prophet. That's what happens a lot of times in prophets. I've taught you that God usually changes a prophet's job descriptions. They're not usually born a prophet. It's usually somewhere along the way that God changes the description, and all of a sudden, everything that you've learned, you realize that God says, now, I want you just to repeat what I tell you. And so we see this happen with Jeremiah. Now, the other thing we want to have in mind with, we know the book of Jeremiah is about this prophet who stayed back in Israel, right? Before and during the captivity into Babylon. You know the story if you've been following these teachings any. And so Jeremiah is always preaching to the nation of Israel, but yet they never turn. It just always seemed odd to me. God even told the prophet they wouldn't listen to him. But yet God put the truth out there. And so it was because of God's ability to see into the future, He knew that they wouldn't turn. But here's what we didn't understand. It's the time that they didn't turn that had yet to be determined. In other words, God is very long-suffering. And it's like I've told you before that there's always been an Antichrist ready to come on the scene at any given generation, because the enemy does not know the day nor the hour he'll need one. And so therefore we've had many. But it's also when God gives a word and he says, now they're not going to listen, there's a span of time between the word and the not listen, that people, individuals, can turn to God. And so the truth is given. As a nation, they didn't, but as far as individuals, some did. Some listened, some heard, some followed Jeremiah. They followed Baruch as he gave those messages. And so the truth, we can say, well, the United States is not going to turn. Well, maybe not. But if we're going to have an end, we're going to have an end. But there's a message that's got to go out in between time, because there's individuals that's got to hear it. And you say, well, Alan, I don't like that. Well, that's reality. That's all that is. And so God calls us to give the truth, even though we perhaps think we can see the end. Now, in light of that, in the book of Jeremiah, in the book of Ezekiel, and these prophets, please hear this. God always has redemption in mind. When God said they wouldn't hear it, he still had the redemption in mind. The worst thing that God can do to you is to allow you to have your way. Did you know that? That's the worst thing that can happen, is God just says, okay, go get you some. Go get all you want. And then what happens to us? God, he steps back. But God, when he steps back, and when God sent Israel into Babylon into captivity, he still had their redemption in mind. But it took that extreme measure, which I think is pretty extreme, but it took that extreme measure for God to really get their attention. Do you know that the human spirit and the human soul is the hardest thing to get the attention of? I'm saying in a place of attention means you're at a place that you'll make a true decision. If somebody says you have cancer tomorrow and you got 2 months to live, guess what? Somebody just got your attention. That's an extreme. But yet it gets your attention. Then it makes us wonder, what would it take to get my attention? Because it goes in this ear and out that ear. Oh, that sounded pretty good teaching. And we go right out of here and it hadn't changed a thing. The problem is, it's not getting our attention. So then there's what we call a shaking. God allows shakings. Why do you shake somebody or someone? You're trying to get their attention. We need to understand that God has made a promise. He's made a promise to me, and he's made a promise to you. And we like to say praise God over that promise, and we need to say oh me to the promise, because God has promised to complete and perform this work that he has started in each one of us. He has made us a promise. There lies our problem. It's with God, and it has been all the time. So as Jeremiah tries to point out here to Israel, you got a problem with God. Let's kind of tear it apart here just a little bit. Now, God always has redemption in mind. In 2 Chronicles here, you know, Solomon does the temple. He does, he puts all of this stuff out at the temple, the sacrifice. And there, you know, we have the fire of God comes down also and consumes it. And so God was pleased with it, and then Solomon, and they go out, and they said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Well, that sounds wonderful. Now, he's not talking to the unbelievers there. He's talking to the believer. He's talking to his people. So if we're looking for everybody everything that's going on around us now, if we're looking for everybody to straighten up and fly right so things will get better, we're not getting the point of this shaking. The problem's with God's people on the earth. Sinners are doing what sinners do, but God's people's not doing what God's people do. So when there's a shaking, God says, my people need to repent, and then I'll heal their land. You got to understand something here. We're the salt of the earth. We're the ones that are preserving the earth to continue today. Can you handle that truth? We're preserving it. We're losing our saltiness. We preserve it, the presence of God. All right, let's move on with that thought. But just remember, this message and everything that's going on today is about God's people. God's people are losing their saltiness. We are not preserving the earth around us. Now, the call of Jeremiah was for them to be the people of God. So God had called them to be the people of God. Jeremiah's call was to remind them, hey, you're the people of God. You're the people of God. But yet they were worshiping false idols. They were into sexual sin. They were into sacrificing babies. They were doing all this stuff. And Jeremiah said, hey, you're the people of God. You're the people of God. And so here it says in Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with jewels. Here's what he's saying here, and Isaiah was saying, you are the people of God. Now, with Jeremiah, he was reminding them. Here we are in 2020, God's reminding us, the church now, you are the people of God. If you want this mess to straighten up, if you'll repent, see, God doesn't make that promise to the world. He makes it to his people. Does anybody see that? So as we repent, God will heal our land. So the message is unto the church. We're holding it in our hands like this. So here we see that there's something called on this earth the people of God. Now, with Jesus, the call of Jesus was for them and us to be the people of God. So Jesus comes on the scene, same message, same people. You got the nation Israel, God's people. He's going to give everything. You see, God chose his people in which to speak to the earth. Up until Abraham, I've taught you, up until Abraham, he's the first Hebrew Jew, God spoke to the earth. He'd grab him a prophet or somebody here or there. He even got him a donkey a time or two. Even got him a non-believer, Balaam, to speak. So, God just spoke to the earth. Then he came up with this thing. He wanted to have his people. He got the Jews. So God spoke to them to dispense his truth to the earth. So therefore, the earth was redeemed somewhat. It was the salt of the earth to keep them from just going stupid in one or two generations and destroying everybody. Now, Jesus did the same thing. He was for them and to us. He's calling us, now the church, to be God's people. And this is what everything to do about the Babylonian captivity and Jeremiah. Somewhere or another, we have lost this understanding. We're God's people. We are God's people. You are not your people. You are God's people, and you have been persuaded of that sometime in your life, in which caused you to follow him. As we go through life, we get warm and we get cold, we get hot, go through all of these, well, is it true, well, is it not true, and yada, 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 yada. And the more we get out of fellowship with each other, the more that battle is alive. So Jesus came on the scene, talking about his people. Now look at it in John. Now think in mind today. This book's perfect. It never changes. Doesn't have to. It's already met perfection. Look what Jesus said. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. He was speaking of himself. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he hath walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goes. So we look at all the darkness around us. You can sympathize with darkness. You can try to agree with, you can do anything you want with darkness. Darkness is going darker. While ye have the light, which is Christ, believe in the light that ye may be the children of the light. So we're the children of God. We're the children of the light. Now, it doesn't say children of your opinion. Now, I'll just throw that in there. I might need a mask. I just spit right out there. I've seen it. Come right out through them lights right there. Just give me 6 foot clearance and I'll keep preaching. So here we go. So they were called the children of light. We're the children of God. And what I felt like I was to remind us of today, the main thing is, you're the children of God, in which God wants to dispense his kingdom to the earth. So does God want to do salvations and signs and wonders and yada yada? Yeah, he wants to do it all through his people to dispense it through the earth. A lot of people have trouble with dispensations. The word dispensation means dispensing of. That's all it means. Don't mean no more. Don't mean something's cut off. And don't mean none of that. It means dispensing of truth. It's a dispensary. The church is to be a dispensary of the truth of God. Why? Because we are the children of light. We're the children of God. So this is what Jesus was saying. Jeremiah was saying to the nation of Israel, come on, somebody, you're the children of God. And you're acting like a bunch of heathens. 36, while you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Does anybody see that? Now listen to me. If you think that we can have an outpouring of miracles here, that it's going to persuade people unto salvation, you're wrong. Because right there, though he did many miracles before them, yet they believed him not. People aren't persuaded because of miracles. They're persuaded because they're convicted of sin in the heart. Come on. We're not trying to persuade the brain. We all get saved the same way. We repent of sin. We have a conviction of the heart. God forbid we have miracles in here and people come by the hundreds, they want to see the miracles. I'm not nothing wrong with the miracles, but do you hear what I'm saying? You don't come into a place of believing because you see a miracle. You come into a place of believing because a Holy Ghost convicted you in your heart. That's what changes us into the children of light. So who are we going to run? Are we going to run after miracles? No, we're going to run after Christ. We're going to run after Christ. When you run after Christ, the closer you get to him, here's your guarantee. You're going to feel worse before you feel better. I didn't write the book. I'm reporting on it. You're going to feel worse before you. That's how you know you ran into the Holy Ghost, is because he convicted us of sin. And then, what is he trying to tell us? Be the children of light. So here he goes. They didn't believe it. I don't want anybody here to think you can have a bunch of miracles and people get saved on it. The way you get saved is conviction of sin of the heart. Now, we can't help it. They're going to follow us, according to the book. Miracles, signs, and wonders are going to follow us. It's just the way it is. You can't outrun them. They're just going to be on you. You can try to hush them up all you want to. Then as now, I want us to see something. Today, good is seen as evil. Evil has risen to a place of good. Everyone is offended by someone or something. Every form of restraint has been breached. Conscious family government. Here's what happens. God has given everyone a conscience. Everyone on the planet's got one. Now, you maybe have it seared, but I don't care. God births everybody with a conscience. You know the difference in right and wrong if you know God or not. If you didn't, you wouldn't try to hide when you do something wrong. You wouldn't try to lie about it. You wouldn't try to cover it up if you didn't know the difference. Everybody, God has given a conscience. And that is to be a form of restraint, if you will, against evil. Then God created what's called the family to train children and to raise children up. And that is to help us as we grow up to restrain from evil. Then God puts government. The Bible says that. He ordains it. He's got government out here. We got police and sheriff and all of this sort of stuff. It's a form of restraint. Guess what happens when that doesn't work? God moves in. Now, God's already put us three things out here. He's wanting us to allow the Holy Ghost to use our conscience to lead and guide us. Can anybody hear what I'm saying? The most unused gift that God has given mankind today is to follow your conscience. To have your conscience in a healthy place. How is your conscience healthy? It's because you don't abuse it and lie to it daily. The Holy Ghost, first choice, is to come into your conscience and bring conviction of sin. That's the design. Then, if that doesn't work, he'll come in here with government, and most of the time we kick and scream all the way with government. Now, watch this thing. Hatred and anger have been given as a legitimate form of communication. Right? I mean, look on TV and everywhere. Hatred and anger has been raised as a legitimate form of communication. Now, I just want to teach you something here about this book. It mentions anger. But God's the only one that's allowed to have it. You got to understand something. Anger is a form of judgment. Judge not, lest ye be judged, right? Anger, can anybody hear what I'm saying? Anger is a form of judgment. I'm judging you now because I'm angry at you. And you didn't get it. Did you get it? Yep. Anger is a form of walking out judgment. Now, you have to deal with that with the Holy Ghost. Now, anger is the emotion that can be behind judgment and should be reserved for God. That's all I'm saying. So do I have a tendency to get angry? Yes, I do. I had it modeled to me by my father. Was he angry all the time? No, he wasn't. But he just used anger as an option. And I always knew it was out there. You can say, well, Alan, it worked, didn't it? And I said, yeah, but he was sure judging me. I didn't get much understanding. I got the point, but I didn't get much understanding. I just want you to consider that anger is used today as a legitimate form of communication. We're getting more barbaric all the time. That needs to be reserved for God and his judgment. The verse goes on to say this. All right, watch this. God is long-suffering. Somebody please say amen. God is long-suffering. He was long-suffering with Israel before Babylon came along. So here we have this. Isaiah 48:9. For my name's sake will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I will not cut thee off. So God has we know that he has a long-suffering about him. He is very long-suffering. I mean, Adam and Eve sinned, and God said, well, you're going to die, and I think he let them live. I think Adam lived 900 and some years. I mean, he was dreading for Adam to come to the reality of his consequence. He must love us more. We don't live that long. God's patience ran out runs out with Israel. Okay. God's patience, what happens is, even though God's long-suffering, we see in the book of Jeremiah that God's, even though he's long-suffering, we need to be careful with that, because we learn through looking at Israel that God's patience can run out. Now, I know we don't like to consider that in the day of grace. I'm just reporting unto you what the Bible, which is perfect, says. You do with it what you want to. It says this in 2 Chronicles, "And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by the messengers, rising up betimes." Now, this he's speaking about Israel here and Babylon. I don't know how many betimes is. It must be a lot, or that means it stings. I don't know. "And sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy." You see that? No remedy. In other words, God was long-suffering with Israel. And he said that he kept sending his messengers. This verse comes to me all the time. You know, we used to have a lot of times you'd have people standing on the street corner preaching and there wasn't nobody there. And we've made fun of them and all this, that, and the other. But I want to tell you the truth. This verse comes to me every time that he's got his prophets and they're out there speaking and they're talking. So therefore, if you like to stand on street corners, go ahead and preach, because I'm not going to touch it. Because I don't know really, I'm not sure what God's saying or what is it that God's doing. The only thing that I know is this. When we make fun of God's messenger, it's probably not good. Would anybody agree with me? That's probably not a good idea. Because just the very fact that you want to make fun of them means that it's probably something true. That's right. Or you wouldn't want to be made fun of. I know nobody's being convicted right now. Probably just me. But anyway, let me move on. The light is going out. Here's what happens in this verse. John 12:35. Then Jesus, you remember this verse, Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while, the light is with you. Walk while you're in the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These spake Jesus to..." Now here's what's the point. We can look around us. I can tell y'all something. I'm sorry. The day we're living in now, our light's going out. I don't know what everybody's waiting on here. Somebody's got to hear the truth. Our light is going out. Darkness is taking us over. The darkness is out here, and I'm reporting. You can disagree with me if you want to, but you'll have to turn the lights on when you go outside to see. God always has this, remember. He always has what? He always has redemption in mind. We always remember that. Jeremiah makes an unpopular announcement when he goes into Israel there. Here's what he has to say. And we'll get into this where he wrote it here, probably not today. But God is coming in judgment by sending an enemy from the north. That's what he told Israel. That was Babylon's coming in. God's coming in judgment. I would love to be able to report to you a different Bible verse today, but this is what's in the book. God had had enough. And I want to show you something. The wrath of God revealed. How do we know what's happening? Now in Romans 1:8, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness." I want you to see something here. All ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness. What that means is, as a preacher, as a teacher, if we suppress the truth, we are guilty of this. If you suppress the truth, you're guilty of this. Don't think it's somebody else. It's us. To have the truth and to suppress it makes you unrighteous. That's what that verse is saying. Now, being abandoned by God, I'm going to move on quickly in Romans 1:24. Now, you got to understand, this is what happened to Israel when Babylon came in and took siege of them. Number one, "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts." Do you see that? How do you know that God's abandoning a culture, or God, how do you know God's pulling out? He gives them over to the lust of their own hearts. That's one. 2:26. For this cause, God gave them up. You see that? Unto vile affections. You see that? God, that's number two, God gave up. Anybody see God gave up? God's pulling out when you see this. Number three, Romans 1:28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God did what? Gave them over to what? Reprobate mind. Three strikes and you're out. Now watch this. God gave them up to sexual impurity, immorality. God gave them up to homosexuality. And God gave them up to reprobate mind. When you see those three things, God's pulled out. I'm sorry to tell you, that's what the book says. Do we see these three things in our country today? The answer is yes. What does it look like when being abandoned by God? Here's what it looks like, 1:29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Are we seeing this? Yes or no? God's pulled out. As a country, we're sitting in a situation, God's pulled out. I don't like to tell you the truth. You can leave from here and say, boy, I'm glad he wasn't telling the truth all you want to. My heart's clean. God's pulled out. What we're seeing happening is because God's pulled out. The reason it's happening is because the church has not repented. Okay, remember this. I keep throwing this in there. I don't want you to forget it. God always has redemption in mind. We can still repent. We can still repent, but we can't turn our back on the truth. When we see all this stuff, we can't say, whoa, ain't they bad? But why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? I'm told you from the Lord, the reason they're doing is because the church won't repent. The church has lost its saltiness. We don't affect the earth anymore. All we got to do is repent. It means we don't really have the power of the Spirit. When people come in these doors, their hearts need to be convicted of sin. When you see the three God gives over, when you see those three, listen, it's been around us so much we've gotten used to it. That's the truth. Sexuality on TV, oh, I mean, you can't even turn the news on without getting nudity. We've gotten used to it. We just need to take a check. Do we really know what day we're in right now? Are we big enough to admit it? If you're waiting for the past, I got to tell you the truth. It's going to get worse. Now, the power and presence of God can get greater. That's the good news. I'm just giving you a spiritual weather report. Test what I say from the Word of God. Why does God abandon? Because we first abandon Him. We are to feel about sin as He feels. Suppressing the truth is holding it with unrighteousness. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven, this is in Romans, against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Why does He abandon? Because we abandon Him. Why do we abandon Him? For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power in Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I want to do the progression. The progression of man as God abandons. This is what happened. I'm getting this from Jeremiah. This is what happened to the nation Israel. And that's what's happening to us today. Romans 1:21. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They knew God, glorified Him not as God. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, into birds, into four-footed beasts, and creeping things. The progression of man as God abandons. Here we go. Who changed the truth of God, what? Into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. What happened with Babylon? And we've been through all these teachings. What happened to Babylon is they changed truth of God. They changed truth into lies. I can't catch my phrase that I taught. How did I say that? But anyway, what happens is what's good's evil and what's evil, good. Today, what is being today we got people burning down buildings and destroying property, and we're calling it good. I'm not taking a side here. I'm just saying, do you realize what you're seeing? Does that tickle your brain somewhere? This is called good. Well, 20 years ago, you went to jail because you tore up a bunch of stuff, right? I'm not saying it's one side or the other. I'm just saying if you come to my place and tear up something, you're not supposed to do that, right? And I also said this, the evil, is there a message somebody's trying to say? The answer is yes. But evil has taken it over, just like it has the church. It's not a one side or the other. I'm on neither side. I'm on the kingdom of God side. I'm just telling you, evil's trying to take over everything. Do I think that we have racial problems? Of course we do. We got all kinds of problems. We always have. Do we need to improve with it? Yes, we need to improve with it. But when is anger considered as a correct response? You have to check your own self. Well, they do it one more time, and I tell you what, now, just one more time. Yeah, that's not like to me you're quoting God. One more time, I've had it. Listen, I'm the chief of I've had it. I've had it so many times. I've had more whippings over I've had it with God than anything I've ever had a whipping over. And when I've had it and I lose my temper and I get angry, guess what? I'm going to apologize every time. I don't know why. I must love apologizing. I look like a complete idiot and a fool. A day or two later, I'm like, are you an idiot? I'm glad, and I hope nobody ever catches me on the cell phone. It's my prayer I never do it again as long as I live. I know y'all were just waiting for me to tell you the last time I did. I'm not doing it. I've repented. But I am saying this. I have noticed how being angry, even in myself, has been considered as a viable option. And I've repented, and I repent before you. Can we get upset and not angry? I think we can. That's something we're not supposed to like, sin we're not supposed to like. But I think y'all know the kind of anger I'm talking about. It's just totally unrighteous. I haven't used up God's word yet. And that's the reason I said that like I did, is what the Lord told me the last time I was angry. The Lord said, Alan, you need to reserve that for me. That's what He said. You need to reserve that for me. And that's where I got those scriptures from. I had to go to the Word to be sure God's telling me right. I'm going into the progression of why God abandons. Now, this is all about the nation Israel and Jeremiah. I didn't throw in the Jeremiah scriptures because I just knew there's no way I can get it all in. I'm hoping you kind of got my point. I hope that I'm not asking that you love me, but I am asking to love God's word. I'm asking you to test it. If anything that I've said is not true, go to the book, and it'll tell you the truth. So let's go into our next service now. Let's stand. I'm going to pray.